This is the What About You podcast. I'm here today with Sister Pam Weathersby, who's a sister of the Marianites of Holy Cross. We'll start with a prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to sit down today to have a conversation with Sister Pam. Bring the Holy Spirit more to us today than it was yesterday, and especially for our podcast today, and help spread the Holy Spirit to the listeners. Let them hear the power of God come through and speak to people and quiet their mind and their self so that they can hear what God is trying to say to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sister Pam, you're a Marianite of the Holy Cross.
Well, it's really Holy Cross. Marianites of Holy Cross.
Marianites of Holy Cross. And when was that formed?
Well, basically in France in the 1800s.
Do they have a, I don't know what you call it, a branch in New Orleans?
Oh, yeah, we are basically an international community. We have sisters still in France, where our mother house is or was. We have sisters in Canada. We have had missionaries, one of whom was abducted.
Oh.
It's, you know, Sister Sue Ellen Tennyson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have sisters in the New York, New Jersey area. We have sisters in Lafayette, Louisiana. We have sisters here in New Orleans. We now have our administrative offices in Covington.
Oh. For the New Orleans branch, or I mean for
everybody.
For everyone, worldwide, mm-hmm. rather than being in France. Because there are so few sisters in France.
That is correct. And they're quite old.
Europe is, and maybe France, they're more secular places than even the United States nowadays. Do you find that, or is that?
Well, I've not been there.
Oh, okay.
And my reason, I've probably had many an opportunity, but if I can't take my dog, I'm not going, because I can look at Europe on TV. I can pull it up on my smartphone.
Yeah.
I can do many things. But if I can't bring my dog, I'm not going.
What kind of dog do you have?
She's a rescue mutt. It's a cute little baby.
That's what I have, too.
Yeah, she's just a rescue mutt.
What's her name?
Her name is Edna Fay.
Oh. I like that.
Thank you.
So the offices are in Covington. Do you go out to the offices ever?
I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have meetings there. We have... You know, the Marianites now have been moved from the chateau, not just the Marianites. All of those who are in the assisted living area have been moved out of that because mm-hmm. they're renovating that. So the only people who are there are in the nursing home.
What is the chateau?
The Chateau de Notre Dame.
Oh, on
Chateau
Walmsley?
De Notre Dame. Yes, yes. Well, it's on Burdett.
But it's right near there,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's right across from Dominican High School.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, did you attend Dominican High School?
I did not. I attended Holy Angels.
And that's in the Ninth Ward?
Yes. It's not there anymore.
Was it in the Ninth Ward?
Now I understand it's a hotel.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I could see that. It's a beautiful... I've been there a few times for retreats over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we had many of my coworkers here at Cabrini who are alumni of Holy Angels. Beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one thing, the room that we had the retreat in primarily had really tall ceilings, and there was this desk, looked like it had been over 100 years old, and it was really tall wooden desk. I mean, must have been 12 feet high or something. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So, Holy Angels, I want to come back to your order, but before, I want to start with your parents. Could you tell me, before you were born, Tell me about your parents.
Well, my mother is German. Of course, she was born here in New Orleans. My father is English. He was born here in New Orleans. My grandmother, on my mother's side, had her mother living with her, and she spoke only German. My father spoke English, of course. And he came from Macomb, Mississippi, or thereabouts. And there is actually a little town called Weathersby, Mississippi, which I have a map of it. I've tried to find it a couple of times, and it's very difficult to find. But somehow or other, those two met. And
was he in the lumber business or farming?
No,
or,
he wasn't. My father was a superior athlete.
Oh.
He graduated from college, and I'm sad to say I'm not sure exactly where. But he, when he was in high school, he lettered in 5 events.
In Macomb or in New Orleans?
I'm going to say that he had moved from Macomb at that time.
Okay.
So I'm going to say he was in New Orleans at that time. Even when he was in college, there is a story that he got many scholarships. He was awarded academic scholarships as well as scholastic scholarships. And he wanted to get his younger brother into college with him. So he said that, "I will come to you, Loyola, that time. I will come to you if you agree to take my younger brother." And they did. So I'm not sure exactly how all of that came to be, but it was pretty funny that, you know, things were so different in that day. But I do know that when I was in, I'm going to say the 1950s, there was an article that came out. I don't know if it was a Times-Picayune or the Harahan section of the Times-Picayune, that someone had just broken his shot put record.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's
Do you know where he went to high school?
I'm ashamed to say I don't.
Yeah,
I know where my mother went. She went to Holy Name of Jesus.
Where is that located? Do you know?
On St. Charles Avenue. Well, on the side street. Yeah, they had a high school at that time.
I have a shared ancestry to a certain degree. My father's mother was, I guess you would say, German. She was born here. Actually, she was born here in Bogalusa, I believe. But her mother was from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But her mother died in, I think, 1925 when she was about 9, and her mother was about 39, just had a sudden illness of some sort and died.
Gosh.
And then my father's mother wound up dying when my father was just about 20 years old.
Mm.
She was a nurse at Charity Hospital in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
When she was about a few years older than I am now, when she was about 53, she died of a brain tumor. What they suspect is what she used to do is when there were babies or people, babies that were, couldn't be in the x-ray machine, she would bring them in there and hold them so they could be x-rayed. And they think that maybe just over the years of that to develop cancer, that had moved to her brain or something at a young age.
How unfortunate.
Yeah. But and her, I never met my grandmother. She died before I was born, a few years before I was born, but her mother was German and her father was English descent. So kind of a similar, mm-hmm. you know, thing. So.
Now, my mother's father was German as well.
Oh.
And.
Were they Catholics both?
They were both Catholic.
Because my grandmother was Lutheran.
Okay.
So the Germans is what. Probably primarily Lutheran, but then a significant minority of Catholic.
Mm-hmm. They were both Catholic.
Your English ancestors? Were they Catholic too?
No. My father was Baptist. And I remember when I was a kid in school, the teachers would be talking about mixed marriages. And I would just sink down in my desk because I knew that that was a mixed marriage. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be. Huh?
So. Yeah. I'm in a mixed marriage too, actually. My wife is Baptist, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm Catholic. Neither of us can help it. We were born that way, I guess. And I mean, I guess we could help it, but it's like...
Well, you know, love happens.
Love happens, so. Yeah. And so you can't put... If you put rules on who you love or that kind of thing, it just doesn't work. It's not part of God's plan anyway.
No, it's not. You know? No.
So, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, she's still Baptist. I'm still Catholic. So, you know, our children have gone to Baptist elementary schools and they've gone to Catholic high schools. So mm-hmm. it's compromise and this and that. But I mean, we're focused on God and we go, you know, attend church regularly. And we, for a long time, we just attended Catholic Mass. For the past 5 years, we've been attending Baptist service because my wife, she said, well, she said, look, I've attended these masses forever. I'm not a Catholic, and it's just, it doesn't do, you know, it doesn't give me what I need as spiritually or whatever. She said, and so I'm going to start attending Baptist service. And I knew she's kind of the spiritual leader of the family, so I knew the kids were going to follow wherever she mm-hmm. went. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I guess I'm going to follow, you know, that too. Mm-hmm. And it's a different experience, but it's very... illuminating. I wish that people would attend just for on occasion at least other religions ceremonies, or especially other Christian denominations, but even other religions ceremonies, mm-hmm. because it gets rid of some of the, I would call it, bigotry.
Yes, I totally agree.
Especially as being a Catholic, I'll hear Catholic, what I consider a mild Catholic bigotry, or things that I'm not an expert on Catholicism, but they don't seem like they're accurate. Like they'll say stuff, well, you Catholics, that you act like y'all believe Mary is God and you pray to Mary, no, you know, that's... and stuff, and say, no, we pray for her intercession, just like we might pray for anyone else's intercession. And they'll say, well, we don't need any intercession. We have a direct relationship with Jesus. Well, and I say my answer to that, and I favor the Catholic position, is, well, you need help on a daily basis with all kinds of things. You need help. Maybe you're moving into an apartment. You might ask a friend to help you. Mm-hmm. You don't just say, hey, God, could you help me move these boxes for me? I'm just going to do it just me. And because it's just between me and God, I'm just going to move it all in by myself. No, you would ask your friend for help. So it's a similar kind of thing if you're praying for an intercession from a saint to pray for you, or Mary, or someone who has gone before
Max,
you.
Max, it is true that you always include the person's family. That's just who we are, I think, as human beings. We're going to bring Jesus' family into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And Jesus came down and God became man and chose that family, chose that mother, chose that earthly father, Joseph, and then... It starts out, the New Testament starts out with that lineage where
yes.
Matthew is basically making almost a legal argument to Jews and saying, no, this is the Messiah, and this is how, you know, and he starts actually with Joseph's lineage from, I believe, from David, and I think he counts 14 generations mm-hmm. from Abraham to I forget exactly, but 14 generations and another 14 generations, and it goes to Joseph. I think because, from what I understand, the male side had the authority to lead or something like that, and so that's why it fulfilled. It was all about how Jesus's life here on earth fulfilled all these prophecies
yes,
of the Messiah.
It's very patriarchal. There's no doubt about that. The women's side has been diminished. And the male side has been enhanced because who wrote it?
Jews, and they were a patriarchal society
at
the
time. That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And but in, I think also in Luke, he traces Mary's lineage too, and there's a prophetic reason to kind of I think it's good talking about the patriarchal.
Yes.
And then some cultures also, they have a matriarchal kind of way.
Some do. Some Indian tribes.
I think a lot of African tribes and in other places. It's not to say, I don't think that necessarily one is, it's right to be patriarchal or matriarchal. It should be more inclusive. Yes. Yeah. It should be working together for, yeah, it should be definitely more inclusive though. It's not... That's one way I think society is making progress here in the future is where women have so many more opportunities compared to when you and I were younger.
Yes.
A lot fewer barriers for women and for other kinds of groups. It was when you and I were younger, especially before my time, it was the world was sort of more set up for white males, and then other groups, there were a lot of roadblocks for, but then especially over the last, I would say, 30 years, there's been a lot of progress to make it more inclusive. And I think it comes in stops and starts. In my view, it's sometimes they go, the people trying to make progress, some of them go to crazy extremes and they do things that maybe even can be counterproductive. But I think it's almost like a war where they're... It's a messy kind of... Thomas Jefferson said that... I think said something to the effect of liberty. It has to be... It's a soil that needs the blood of patriots to be replenished. I just think that any kind of progress is going to be messy at times. There are going to be things that... Mistakes made. Just like if you're trying to do anything, you're going to make mistakes along the way. You're going to go back and forth. But ultimately... The way forward, you're making progress. It's just not a nice straight line like we would like.
That is true. But, you know, I'd like to go back to the religion thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that is correct, that it would be a very good practice. I'm not saying forsake the Catholic tradition by any means, but I'm thinking that in my own family, we all started out Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I now have a sister and brother-in-law who's Episcopalian, and sometimes we go to her church, and that's on Carrollton Avenue, and it's refreshing to see how closely aligned it is with the Catholic Church, for one thing. But amazingly, right now, they have a female pastor. They just got a female pastor. Their pastor before that was Father Jim Morrison, who was a Catholic priest at one point.
I loved his music.
Well, yes, but that's a different one. I agree with you. Two different ones.
Episcopalian is very closely related to Anglican, which is closely related to the Catholic Church.
Because
we studied this in a course I teach, Western Civilization, where Henry VIII wanted to get divorced, and then the Pope said no. And so then Henry said, I'm going to split off, but we're going to basically stay Catholic, except for we're just not going to follow the Pope. So the Church of England is very similar to the Catholic faith compared to some of the other Protestant faiths.
Yes.
And then the Anglican Church, after the American Revolution in U.S. history, we studied that American Anglicans, they decided to split off, at least this is the way I understand it, because they didn't want to be associated with something English anymore. And so Episcopalian is a split off from Anglican because they just don't want to be part of the Church of England. I'm not sure, but that's...
Well, I don't know, but that all sounds good. Mm-hmm. But going back to that, I have a sister now and her husband and her children who now go to a Baptist church. And they have lively music.
Yes.
I've been to a few of their services. They have very lively music. The pastors are very congenial, very pastoral. So I think there's good in just about every religion who's truly focused on God.
Yes.
So I just wanted to say I agree with you on your position about it might be a healthy thing.
It would benefit any church if that church's leaders, including priests, sisters, bishops, but I'm talking also about the Protestant churches or any church, if they visited other services of other religions and other Christian denominations as well, but even non-Christian, and see what they're doing and see within our faith, what can we incorporate in order to have a better experience? While still doing the Holy Mass, how can we incorporate some of the things I see here at the Baptist or the Episcopalian Church, where maybe they have parishioners, the congregants are more spiritually alive at points or just more energetic at points, and maybe I want to bring that in. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I saw when my wife's parents are Baptist, and so when we were been together for almost 30 years, and then so back in the 90s when we go to her church in Texas, or Baptist church, they'd have these big screens on the side of the altar, mm-hmm. base, or whatever they call the altar. It'd have PowerPoint with the lyrics of the songs they were singing. So I was thinking back, we could do this in the Catholic Church, why do we have to, like it's 1924 instead of 2024, why do we have to look in the book to find what page number? Because so many people aren't looking in those books and they're not singing along. But if they could just look up and see the words, they would sing along. So we could adopt that and in a Catholic way. And there are so many other things that we could do. And not just for the Catholic faith. Then I think the Baptists or the Episcopalians could come to our services and then they could speak to priests. And they could learn, well, no, actually, we don't pray, worship Mary as a god or pray mm-hmm. to Mary as a god or something like that. And other kinds of things. The priests and the sisters could go into those services, could learn other kinds of bigoted or just ignorant opinions that they have of those faiths. Oh, I thought that they believed this or thought this, but mm-hmm. no. Because Jesus, which I think a big key of being a Christian is being a follower of Jesus. I think if that's part of the heart of it.
That's the definition.
Yeah. And Jesus, one of his key messages is, I am the way. This is something I come back to. What was Jesus' way? Well, Jesus' way is what we read about, especially in the Gospels. What was Jesus' way? He chose to come down and become the son of a carpenter and a carpenter himself. A carpenter builds things. He wasn't a lawyer. He could have been a lawyer. The lawyers or the people that were obsessed with religious law were wound up being his adversaries. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times a problem, religion is important because people say, a lot of semi-secular people will just say, well, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. But I think religion is important because it grounds you. You need fellowship with other people. There's so many different mm-hmm. reasons. But the problem with being, I would say, too religious, the problem if you're just focused on your religion, your denomination, etc., there are all these rules. Turn to page 32, paragraph 20, and this is how we did it because back in 1282, this council said that this is how we have to do it. And I think that part of the Reformation is because there was corruption, obviously, in the church at the time, 500 years ago, a lot of corruption back then. But especially like selling of indulgences and the political aspects of the church and all kinds of other things that led to the Northern Europeans saying, why are we sending all this money to Rome? I kind of think, I mean, I do think really that it's good. I like the universality of one church, but I also think it's good to have competition and not have a monopoly on God's church here, because if it gets taken over by dark forces, if it gets taken over by the kinds of, or just by the kinds of people that were opposed to Jesus when he was here, that are just focused on the law and not the message, not the way. So the way, to get back to that, Jesus was going to the least least among us, and I say least in quotes because I don't really think there are any least or greatest. I don't think the President Biden or former President Trump are any better or worse than the person living underneath the overpass on Claiborne. I think we're all equal in the sight of, we're all equal in God, is what I believe. Jesus, though, would go to these people that others in society rejected. They had leprosy, they were prostitutes, they were tax collectors, they were other kinds of things. He would make fellowship with them and try to bring the Lord to them and bring hope. And that's the main, those are some of the main things that he did in his ministry and the ministry of his life.
And so
to be,
and
healing. Mm-hmm. And so to be a follower of Christ, we should strive to those things. Not just going to our church, whether it be Baptist or Catholic, and then going about our life and saying, well, that's another thing that I like more about the Catholic faith is that works play a role more so than in the Protestant faiths, where in the Protestant faiths, they say that the big focus is on being saved, accepting Jesus as your Savior. John 3:16, I believe, is something like you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you're saved, and you're going to go to heaven. And works really don't play any kind of role whatsoever.
Well, that is not accurate.
That's not correct? Okay, well, correct me then.
It's not accurate. I mean, all churches have the societal buy-in that they are going to, I mean, some denominations more than others,
mm-hmm.
but they all have set-asides for improving society, some to a greater degree, some to a lesser degree. Mm-hmm. I don't know about a greater degree because, you know, we have, Catholic Church is very organized to help society.
Mm-hmm.
But I know from my sister's church how much they do. And so I can't agree with that 100%.
Yeah, but no, I'm not saying that Protestant churches don't do for humanity. They do tremendous things,
yeah,
obviously.
Some do more than others.
Yeah, and the Catholic Church does too. But what I'm saying is when I'm sitting in the service, a big focus, and this is one part of each service basically, is a kind of, they call it a come to Jesus kind of a thing,
okay.
In other words.
Yeah.
And it's about, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved by faith alone, essentially.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Catholic faith, I don't exactly know what, I think it's through the sacraments and that kind mm-hmm. of a thing. My point is not so much, well, A, I think it's getting a little into legalism there even, but then B, if you are, I don't think, A, you should worry necessarily even if you are saved, because that's focusing on you, and that's not the message of Jesus. Jesus wasn't focused on, am I Jesus saved? He was focused outwardly on others.
Well, Jesus is the one who saves us.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
but he's also the
we
way.
We can't save ourselves.
Yes, but he's also the way, and so if he's, mm-hmm. he wasn't focused on him. His whole ministry is focused on others, especially the less fortunate. And so to focus on me being saved, I think, is the wrong way to
phrase it. That's exaggerated in some denominations.
Yeah, exaggerated. And it's a selfish sort of a thing. Well, I'm saved,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if as long as I have this relationship with Jesus, I'm saved.
Yeah, but that's not accurate either.
Well, that's what.
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying.
But I think that's what a lot of.
They may, but I mean, that's not accurate.
No, I agree that this.
If your actions don't match,
yes.
You can say, you know, 20 times a day I'm saved, but that doesn't make it so.
Yes, that's exactly my point. Is that if you are, let's just take their words. If you are saved, your actions should just show that. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's the way
correct.
I prefer to see it. Your actions should show, well, this is what Jesus did. And then you saw, especially after the resurrection, what Peter did, and then, you know, Paul did, all mm-hmm. these people who, they led Jews and Gentiles into a life of persecution for the most part, into horrible, painful deaths that they had to suffer and this and that. But they were spreading the message that the Messiah had come. They weren't necessarily, I guess my point, and maybe I keep circling around it, is that the point is to follow Jesus's way. We can read the Gospels and see what Jesus's way is. Jesus' way is helping other people as God would have you help them, and having a relationship with God. God wants you to have a relationship with God. God wants you to be a part of a church, I would say. God wants you to serve others as God would have you, as God would serve them. I think those are some of the key things. The more rule-focused we get, the less Christian we get sometimes. And if we're just going to church and then focusing on our own salvation and then going home, and that's not animating who we are, then are we really Christian even? So, you know, they had the thing 100 years ago or so called the social gospel, where it was about going into cities and similar kind of thing, where you're putting your faith into practice. So my thing is, if you call yourself a Christian, or even other religions basically, but if you call yourself a Christian, there should be a lot of it should animate your life.
I agree. I think our faith and our actions are really one. They should form one in a person. And so you don't have to worry about, am I saved? No, you just go on about your living based on how Jesus exemplified that and how we should try to exemplify Jesus. I don't think we have to wring our hands over it.
Yes.
It's a gift.
Yes. Thank you. I definitely feel like we could go for hours more. We're just kind of scratching a surface, but I think we focused on a topic that's an important topic here today, and hopefully it touched me, but hopefully it'll touch some people who are listening throughout the years to this.
I hope so. Yes, I hope so.
All right.
Well thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Actually, I appreciate it.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time.
Okie doke.